We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with a simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelance profiles, get help drafting a job post, or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them to take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com today and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
Hey guys, let's talk ED because millions of men experience it, but not everyone can access or afford treatments like Viagra. Well, Hims can help. Through Hims.com, you can get a full range of treatment options for ED, including daily or as-needed meds, through a 100% online process. It all starts with an online intake form. Get started at Hims.com/joy. And from there, a medical provider licensed in your state will determine if ED treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is shipped to you for free. Find the ED treatment that fits your needs with options up to 95% less than the brand names. Millions of men experience ED. But Hims can help. To start your free online visit and save up to 95%, go to Hims.com/joy. That's Hims.com/joy for your free online visit. Hims.com/joy.
Imagine the legacy you could leave behind. Imagine a career where every day, every lesson, every word of encouragement, it all adds up to something greater. One teacher can inspire a lifetime of learning. At Teachers of Tomorrow, we believe in the power of one. One teacher, one student, one moment that changes everything. Teaching isn't just a job. It's a legacy of learning that shapes the next generation. If you've ever felt the call to teach, your time is now. Start your teaching journey today with Teachers of Tomorrow. We're here to guide you every step of the way. A bachelor's degree is all that's required. Best of all, it's free to apply, and you can be teaching in just 6 months. Call Teachers of Tomorrow at 800-813-9441, 800-813-9441. That's 800-813-9441, because the world needs teachers like you.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube.
ESPN 97.5, KFNC 97.9, HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Presented by Zadok Jewelers.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're back with the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from East River 9 as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees broadcasting live, East River 9. Some live music tonight, a little live music summer concert series every Friday and Saturday from 7 until 9. Fun for the whole family. Also giving away a pair of e-bikes. Test ride today, cruise tomorrow. Power On E-Bikes has you covered. E-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company, the grand prize of the summer. All you have to do is register to win at our promo table at any of our live remotes. And you could potentially win those pair of e-bikes, $4,000 value.
That might be one of the best prizes that we've ever given away.
A big bike guy.
Well, I mean, the fact that it's more like it's a moped than it is a bike, because most people just don't pedal them ever to call them a bike. They just use the motorized part of them.
Yeah, they're fun.
They can cook a little bit.
It's a good time. Tonight's lineup is the worst Astro lineup I've seen in over a decade, says a texter. I don't know. Ever in a decade?
Hasn't there been some outfields in the past where we had Chaz and Jake? And
sure, yeah. I don't think it's the worst we've seen in a decade.
Uh-uh.
I wouldn't go that far. I'm sure there's been some pretty bad ones. I mean, the way that Dusty Baker would give everybody a day off on the same day, getaway day after a long road trip, I'm sure there's been some bad ones.
We just got done talking about the fact when you're in a position of strength, when you're 10 or 15 games up in the division, and like you said, you come off a road trip or you want to rest a whole bunch of guys. He didn't care because he didn't care if he lost the game in the standings.
No. Yeah, he didn't, which was fine. I didn't disagree with it. Hard to unring the 10-day IL bell. Yeah, but it's 10 days. Like, it's a week and a half. Like, it's going to be okay. It's not that big a deal. That's 10 of 162.
And you can retro it right to what it's 8?
Well, until tomorrow. Like, if you didn't make the move today, you could retroactive to the point of injury. So you could retroactive if you got hurt yesterday, and today could be day one of the 10-day IL stint. So you could give them the weekend, let's say, and then Monday, okay, it's still not where we want it. Like, we're going to place him on the IL, and you could retroact it and where he would have had Friday, Saturday, Sunday already on the IL. The fear that I have with that, though, is that Esoc, competitor, gamer, hey, I'm good, and he can look good, right? You take BP, do a few sprints, he's 90-95%, and then all of a sudden he's trying to stretch a single into a double in a 9-2 game, and it flares up on him
again.
Well,
you know the other dangerous part of that is, right, we already know that their track record is they don't like to do too much imaging. So if you're just based on what he tells you he feels as opposed to doing more imaging to see if there's actually still little tears in the hamstring, he could tell you he feels fine. If you don't do the imaging behind it, yeah, there's a chance he could hurt it again.
Yeah. Yeah. The imaging has usually been the bones that have burned the Astros.
But still, when you do imaging, you see the actual extent of how big the tears are and everything. Because every pulled muscle is a tear to some degree. And you can see that and go, yeah, it still doesn't look like it's there. They did that, again, with Curry's injury in the playoffs. They were imaging it a lot to see how much that tear had healed.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully they do a bunch of the imaging, and that's what's going on. The texter that said that this is the worst lineup, he said since 15, they've always had a more talented lineup than we're seeing today. I disagree. I can find – I'm not going to do it because that's going to be a lot of work. But, I mean, Yordan wasn't here until 19. Yordan's had years where he's been hurt. You had dusty lineups. Altuve's missed a bunch of games over the last, like, 3 or 4 years. No, there's no way. There's no way today's the worst lineup they've had in the last decade.
I would think not. I just think that there's too many, like we just said. I mean, there's too many guys with a bench that was decent enough. There were too many guys that got starts and got playing time that would have given you a less than look on paper going into a game.
Yeah, not buying it. All right, Major League Baseball, texter, when should DeZinzo and Chaz get back? I don't know. I saw them both in the dugout yesterday. I think Dana Brown was asked by Salisbury on Wednesday, an update there, and he's like, no update. So it doesn't seem like the return of DeZinzo and Chaz is imminent.
That's not good. Because you're looking for options. Oh, you know the other one that I saw people begging for if Paredes is out for a while is Matthews.
Yeah, I think it's still too soon.
I do too.
I don't want to do it yet.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And you know, and I believe his strikeout rate is pretty high.
Yep.
That, yeah, I mean, I think that you've got guys, especially if it's not going to be for an extended period of time, if it's 10 days, I think you can get by with what you have. I think if it gets past that, now everything's on the table to discuss. I just don't think it's Bryce Matthews' time yet.
Yeah. All right, Major League Baseball trade deadline, end of July. I don't know the exact date this year. They move it around nowadays because they want it on a very specific day. I think Tuesdays. I think they like it Tuesday midday or Wednesday midday. This year it actually is on July 31st, so a little old school. Trade deadline July 31st. The conversation starting to pick up with this. Passan's put out a story. Rosenthal's put out like a little trade deadline primer. I saw Chandler Rome have a little bit of an Astro trade deadline primer. So I guess it's that type of that time of year where we start having these conversations. In your mind, what is the Astros' biggest trade deadline need?
Well, this is tough for me because I went back and forth on this in the last 2-3 weeks when you would see the offense sputter and then you would see another pitcher go down. That you could make a case either way. For me, I think that you're going to get Yordan back. So you're going to add a big bat to your lineup no matter what. You have some guys we just got done talking about, like DeCenzo, like even a Chaz McCormick, that can come back to your lineup. But the pitching woes continue to build on you. You don't know, and when Dana was doing one of the interviews with the flagship, he's talking about late July or August for three of the pitchers as it relates to, and maybe even four of the pitchers if you include J.P. France, but Javier, Garcia, and even Eric Geddy coming back from the thumb where he's finally going to start throwing off the bump. Pitching is so important in this league, and your pitching has been so good all year, but we know that it's basically been a crapshoot with your 4 spot, your 5 spot in the rotation, and Lance has been kind of, you know, yes, he had 2 good ones. He also had a not-so-good one last time out. You know you got the horses at the front with Brown and Fromber. I think you got to look at pitching first because that's going to be at a premium come trade deadline, truly at the 31st. most teams aren't going to want to be doing something early unless you overpay. But I think if I had to just say I can only do one, then I'm looking at pitching.
Yeah, it's hard to ever say no to pitching. It's just more complex, right? Like to trade for a good starter that are immediately better than Gordon, Gusto. If you want to throw Walter into the conversation, Eric Geddy should be in the conversation. Eric Geddy is going to come back. Like, I'm not worried about Eric Geddy coming back. He had a broken bone. Now, I'm not going to count on Javier and Garcia. Prove it to me. Like, I'm not going to count on him.
And even if France is healthy, I know you're not the biggest fan, but
France is okay. Like, he's
a conversation
back
becomes
starter.
Is he better than Gusto, Gordon, guys like that, and Walter?
See, the price is going to be difficult there. Because to trade for a starter that's clearly better than those guys, it's pretty dang expensive. And the Astros don't have a great farm system. And I've heard they don't want to trade Miguel Ulloa. So that really thins it out there a bit, because he would probably be the most prized possession for a team that's trying to make a trade with the Astros. You know, Matthews would be up there. I'm sure Yannick would have some love from other teams too. I just feel like the price for a clear-cut starting pitcher who's better than what they already have is too much for what the Astros have in the system.
No, I would agree with that. And we saw last year with more and more teams, when they have a chance, even if it's an outside shot, of making the playoffs, everybody becomes buyers. The price gets pushed way up. And then you start having to make some tough decisions, because the internet, some of the articles I saw in the last couple of days, is the Astros would willing to trade one of their bench players or someone off their major league roster to go get someone that they need. Okay, but what are you getting in return that's going to be good enough for the hole you're trying to fill? To your point, are the pitchers you are getting, maybe they have more experience, but are they going to be better than Gordon or some of the guys you've been throwing out there, Gusto?
Yeah.
If they're not, then you have to go, well, for probably a lot cheaper price, you can get someone that's a left-handed bat or a bat for your lineup that might be able to give you what you need, knowing that you still have guys that can bridge the gap for you until you get Eric Geddy back and you see if anybody else is available, as opposed to overspending.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with this. Now, Dana Brown, like, I didn't like it at the time last year. I tip my cap to what Dana Brown did last year. Dana Brown traded three players that are probably 4A players. Like, Will Wagner's not been good. He's in AAA. Lo Perfido has not been good. He's been demoted to AAA. Jake Bloss, who's the one piece of that trade that I was probably the highest on, he's been shut down. I think he had TJ.
I think he did too.
So he's done for the year. And like you say, Kikuchi was really good down the stretch. So like, Dana Brown did a pretty good job last year of conjuring up a bunch of 4A players that he didn't believe in their future and actually got a significant piece to their team. So maybe there's something like in that avenue where Dana Brown could put together a package of, you know, like the Shea Whitcombs of the world and get back a starter that could help you. I just wonder how much improvement they would be over what you already have. And look, I'm probably a little bit more optimistic on some of the pitchers they already have than most. Like, I think I'm higher on Colton Gordon than most people. I think I'm higher on Gusto than most people. I don't know enough about Ulloa. I like what I see in the minors and stuff, but I haven't seen him pitch. So for me, it would have to be a clear cut better than those guys. And I'm not sure the Astros have the system to trade for a player of that type. Now, they need a lot of help, and, like, sure, you're kicking the tires there. Like, their bench is terrible. Their bench is awful. They're carrying three guys right now that they almost never play, and they also have had tons of injuries. So I think you could help your bench a lot. If you're looking for one starter on the offensive end, like, it kind of comes down to the Altuve conversation, where is he going to play? I would like to see a left-handed bat that can play multiple positions, you know, maybe second, first, left field type. And like, trading from the big league roster to find a player that can help you, I think it could be a Chaz type, where you trade Chaz for a like player, except he's left-handed, that maybe has less years of club control, maybe he's a rental. Because Chaz does have still a few years of club control. So a team that's out of the race might be willing to trade a left-handed outfield bat that has, you know, 3 months left on his contract to get Chaz, and let's see if he has anything left.
Yeah, I was thinking you're either looking at a rental or you're looking at a veteran that, not like immediately like the Jason Hayward type of a year ago, but you're looking for a guy that maybe has more veteran experience, because I think teams do look at Chaz. That's the first name I thought about a guy that has playoff experience, a guy that's had success in spurts. He had a down year last year, and understand that he really hasn't had a chance to show where he's at this year. but they have outfielding needs. The Padres have constantly been looking at looking for another outfielder. They could use a Chaz McCormick. They could use him with his versatility.
Yeah.
But do they have any? The other question then becomes, it's great that there are teams looking at Chaz, but do they have what you need in return that's going to fill your void? Like you said, a versatile guy with a left-handed bat. I mean, most teams that have that are probably hanging on to him.
I'm not going to lose sleep if they trade Chaz McCormick. But the negative of trading Chaz is that he is a big league outfielder. He hits lefties well at minimum. And he is your he's currently your second center fielder. I know he's on the injured list right now. But if he was healthy, he's your backup center fielder. So I don't love just giving him away for a guy who's going to be your last reliever, like that sort of thing. Like, to me, he has value on this team that I'm not sure Major League Baseball gives him value for.
If you do trade him,
yep.
Who becomes your – is it Melton?
Probably, but I don't love that.
Yeah, because I know early in the season they were giving some warm-up reps to Cam. I don't want Cam moving there either. Cam, we just got done talking about it from third base perspective. Leave Cam right where he's at. You got a very fast, speedy outfielder in Jacob Melton. I would think that's the kind of guy that you consider if that's a move that you're willing to make. And then, like I said, the bigger challenge is going to be there are going to be teams that probably be interested in Chaz, but do they have what you want in return?
Yeah.
Don't just give him away for the sake of trying something different unless the guy's a fit.
Yeah, I really wish he was playing right now so we could see who he is. Because if he is somebody who he was 2 years ago, it's like, okay, that guy helps me. If he's who he was last year, okay, this guy doesn't help me. 713-780-ESPN. What is the Astros' biggest trade deadline need? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from East River 9 on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If you're in the market for a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle, you need to get out to Monument Chevrolet right now, or at least this weekend. Monument Chevrolet is the dealer that you can trust. They're transparent. They don't hassle you with prices. It's not this back-and-forth negotiation. Are they taking advantage of me? You're not going to have to worry about that at Monument Chevrolet, because Monument Chevrolet is the best. And they've been serving the Houston area for 50 years, five decades, and they've helped generations of families get into new vehicles or pre-owned vehicles. And you know, these families keep coming back. Why do they keep coming back? Because they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. They're friendly out there. They're good people. It's a fantastic culture. Everybody loves the people at Monument Chevrolet. So get out there, and if you've been looking for a vehicle for your business too, by the way, Monument Chevrolet has you covered. They're one of the best dealerships nationwide in commercial vehicle sales, a huge selection of work, trucks, vans, SUVs. Monument Chevrolet has the perfect vehicle for businesses of any size or inventory. Get a fair deal, a fast deal, an easy deal without wasting your time in these aggravating, stressful negotiations. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. If you've been waiting to upgrade your ride, now is the time to do it. Visit them online, monumentchevrolet.com. That's monumentchevrolet.com, or better yet, just visit them in person. 225 and Beltway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet together. Let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
John Granato here with Robin Orlando from Houston Powder Coaters. Robin, this is the time for all those HOA people, and if you have a public pool, this is the time to get the stuff done at Houston Powder Coaters.
Yes, because everyone knows pool season opens Memorial Day weekend, so let's get that work done by April.
So you need to do it now because it takes some time.
Now, because yes, we do have a line of people trying to get their stuff done, and I want you in line with them.
And you guys are bigger and better than ever. You did the bridge in the Woodlands, Herman Park, the benches at NRG. You guys are all over the place.
Yeah, even if you think you don't know who we are, you've definitely seen our work.
And now Tesla and Samsung, what's going on?
Yeah, so we are actually branching out into the Austin market with the tech world. Austin has Tesla, it's got SpaceX, it's got Samsung, and we are there.
Wow, we're really smart now, aren't we?
We are. We're like Silicon Valley part two.
That's Robin Orlando from Houston Powder Coaters. 281-676-3888 or HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
Call me.
Is diabetes keeping you from enjoying life's special moments? At US Med, we understand the challenges you face, and we're here to help.
With US Med, I can finally manage my diabetes without it managing me.
US Med offers a wide range of services to simplify your diabetes care. Personalized care plans, convenient access to cutting-edge diabetes tech, and knowledgeable support. Plus, we'll check your insurance so your diabetes care may be covered at little or no cost to you.
With US Med, I feel confident and control of my diabetes. I can finally live my life to the fullest.
Don't let diabetes hold you back. Choose US Med and experience better birthdays, better adventures, better anniversaries, and better everything. Call now. U.S. Med. Better service. Better care. 800-451-4785. 800-451-4785. 800-451-4785. That's 800-451-4785.
Listen on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app. Just search ESPN 97.5 and download today. We're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from East River 9 as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ride farther, ride faster, ride smarter. With Power On E-Bikes, our grand prize of the summer, all you have to do is register to win at our promo table, and they can be yours, $4,000 value. We're broadcasting live at East River 9 today. I just had our boy stop by, so he was about to go play, was happy to see us, which told him, hey, we don't need the compliments, but yeah, good to see you too. Live music summer concert series every Friday and Saturday from 7 to 9, fun for the whole family. Of course, your spot to watch the U.S. Open, NBA Finals, they have some college baseball on, unfortunately. Big 12 brethren, Arizona just went down to Coastal Carolina. Maybe this, I don't want to call them a Cinderella because they're not. Maybe the, I don't want to phrase this. They're not an underdog. They're not a Cinderella. It's Coastal Carolina.
They've been pretty solid for a few years, huh?
They're very good. Very good baseball. I don't want to phrase it, though. Like, are they the Davids that slaying Goliath, maybe? Maybe that?
Okay.
I don't know. But I mean, Coastal Carolina is very good. They beat Arizona in game one of the College World Series. Another game coming up later today in Omaha. U.S. Open going on right now as well. J.J. Spahn continues to lead. Leader at 4-under. Sam Burns from LSU. Everybody knows that. And Thurston Lawrence, 3-under. Thomas Detry is at 2-under. And Victor Hovland at 1-under. So five golfers under par. We're getting closer to what I want. I do not want a U.S. Open champion to be in the red. I want them to be over par. So see how that plays out. Do have some Isak Paredes news from Joe Espada. Brian McTaggart tweeting that Isak Paredes came today, quote, feeling pretty good, getting an MRI today. Matt Kawahara saying that the MRI results are expected to come in at game time. It's funny how that works. You couldn't get into an early MRI and then have the answers before you met with the media. It's funny how every single time, oh, yeah, we're going to know the results later. Come on. Give me a break. I'm not buying that.
That's what they call convenience.
Yeah, I'm buying that. But here's my stance, though. Like, if he's – and I get due diligence, I understand. Like, we're going to take – that's what Dana Brown's been talking about since the Yordan injury, why it took the Yordan injury, not the Tucker injury, to take more imaging. If he's worthy of getting imaging done, 10-day IL him. Go take a little vacation. We'll win five games without you, Isak. We'll go 5-5 in the next 10. You get that thing taken care of. I don't need you to feel like you're rushing back, but they do have the option of retroactively putting him on the IL, so that does exist. And then Leah Van adding in a nugget, too, that Chaz McCormick hit off the tee today.
Okay.
A tee work for Chaz McCormick.
Okay. Now, can we get any updates on Zach DeCenzo?
It's not my job.
I know. That'd be great if we found out some positive news on a guy that I think, until he got hurt, people felt pretty comfortable, especially in a case like this where one of your key players is out. Offensively, he can pick up some slack.
Yeah, he's been a pretty good offense, pretty solid offensive player. Yeah, I haven't heard. I mean, hand injuries I'm always leery about.
Especially here.
Yeah, although I do think that DeCenzo is going to get the best medical that the Astros are capable of because it's right off the heels of Yordan.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but did you see that? I think Chandler was getting into it with one of the Astros fans about, you know, where DeCenzo is and what's going on. And he just got snarky and was like, yeah, like telling a guy that he was ready to hit when he wasn't ready to hit and throwing him out there so that he could be hurt and be out longer.
Who was that, Yordan?
He's talking about Yordan.
Oh, he's talking about Yordan, yeah. Yeah, Chandler's pretty snarky to
yes, he
about
is.
The Astros.
Yes,
our girl Heather, biggest needs at the trade deadline, left-handed outfielder bat, a starter having a mess season that the M&M law firm can fix for a playoff run because money. It's a good point. Astros – maybe that's what they should do, like a reclamation project that doesn't have much value but still has good stuff. Here you go, Murphy and Miller. Do what you do.
See, and again, because it's Milwaukee ties, Savali was a guy with the Brewers that had been a starter his whole career. They wanted to move him to the pen. He didn't want to go. Pat, it's not Pat Kelly, the manager for the Brewers comes out and basically says, he needs to basically buck up and realize that wherever we put him, he's going to be fine, but he's going to have to do what we want to do. Then they basically trade him to the White Sox last night for the journeyman first baseman that's hitting about .188.
Andrew Vaughn.
Yeah, and I'm like, Andrew Vaughn, or could the Astros, whether it be Chaz or someone else, could you have gotten a guy like that?
Nah, Chaz doesn't have the value of Andrew Vaughn. Andrew Vaughn's like a...
Who would be our equivalent to Andrew Vaughn?
Maybe DeZinzo.
Ooh, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew Vaughn was a highly touted prospect coming up, and they got to the bigs pretty early, and then he hasn't, I mean, obviously hasn't lived up to the expectations, and you mentioned the numbers. Some of the advanced numbers like him more than the real numbers, though. Like, he's still somebody who has a chance to help a big league roster. He wouldn't be Chaz. He might be DeZinzo.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't do it for DeZinzo. If it was a guy, whether it be off your major league roster or, I mean, I would consider guys that you've looked at in the past as a guy that could help you. Maybe it's not Blue Ball, maybe it's not Pedro Leon, but it's guys that you gave them an opportunity, they didn't seize it the first time, and then it becomes, does Dana believe that they do have a role within this organization?
Yeah.
And if they don't, it's not to the extent of getting a guy like Kikuchi a year ago, but if Dana doesn't believe in you, then what's the harm in going and getting a guy that's, he's been a 4 or 5 starter in the major leagues for a couple of years where he can at least plug and play him?
Yeah, I actually asked myself this question earlier because I saw the news, and I don't think he's better than what you got.
Really?
No, he's been...
He's been a 4 or 5 his whole career.
He's got a 4.91 ERA this year. Like, is that better than Gusto? Is that better than Gordon? Last year, he had a 4.36 ERA. The year prior to that was his best year, recent memory, 3.46, but he's 3 years removed from that. And then if you look at some of the advanced stuff on him, like...
But the big thing is the reason why it crossed my mind is because what you were saying about if Miller and Murphy get a hold of him, can they do something with him? Not to the levels of how they resurrected Kikuchi and worked with him to do what they did a year ago, but if they are capable of doing anything to kind of whittle that ERA down a little bit and he becomes a guy that can give you what you need for the next month or two?
Yeah, that would depend on the stuff. Mm-hmm. I'd have to take a deep dive on the stuff of Aaron Sevalier. But has he ever been like a stuff guy?
See,
he throws a low 90s fastball.
He's going to be a 4 or 5 in just about any decent team's rotation.
Yeah, I don't know if that's an upgrade.
Okay.
I don't think it's an upgrade.
See, from a Gusto perspective, I think long-term, you're right. Short-term, if I got a guy that's been there, done that, and he's been a starting pitcher, and he's stretched out already, and all those things that go with it, for the short-term, I might think he'd be better than Gusto. And better than Walter or whoever you, if you're going to go six-man.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're kind of equal, Gusto and Sevalier, where they're at in this current part of their career. But you also have to get rid of something. Like, I know that Vaughn is like a prospect that's been a bust and all that, but, like, I still think he is valued some, a little.
Well, and in their case, they're constantly looking for a guy that can maybe plug and play some power, that can play first base. And I think he's also – is he caught at one point in his career?
Who's
a little
that?
Bit, Vaughn?
I don't think he's caught professionally. I think he did in college.
He played first. I don't know if he can play outfield.
He's not a good defender. Like, he's a bat-first guy that they try to, like, find a spot for his bat. And his bat hadn't been good.
Okay.
Hadn't been good. But I think he's a guy who can probably play against lefties. He's probably better than what his numbers have been. He's had, like, a couple of decent years. Like, so he's not a bum. Like,
right,
he belongs on a big league roster. And, like, he's still somewhat young. So it's like a guy that's a failed player, that's a reclamation project, that still has a chance. So I don't think it'd be Chaz.
Okay.
I'm not sure the Astros really have a great comp for that, really.
Yeah, because I wouldn't give up a DeCenzo. I wouldn't give up any young talent that you're looking at with a chance to be someone for several years. I was just wondering who the comp would be to where you might have a chance to get a guy that would be at least what you're looking for the short term.
Yeah. Heather Rome pounced on me on Twitter for agreeing with him during the Presley trade. He's a little sensitive too. He gets very quick.
He does.
Very quick with sometimes people aren't even like checking him, you know? They're not even going at him. It's just like, hey, conversation. And he's quick to bite you.
Did you see the Presley story?
Yeah.
Where he gave up 8 earned, 9 runs in an outing, and he asked, was it Hap? Ian Hap?
Yes.
He asked
it was Hap.
Yeah, it was Hap, and he said, hey, I need you to do a deep dive. Just look at if you were scouting me as a visiting team pitcher. Tell me everything you see and everything that I'm doing wrong. And since then, I don't believe he's given up an earned run.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Hunter Brown did last year.
With Braggs?
Yeah. They've expanded that story where Presley was involved too.
Okay.
So I think that Presley's had that card. I guess he recently played it in Chicago. Yeah, he had that one awful outing, but other than that, he's been pretty solid. Now, he's also been demoted from the closer role. Mm-hmm. He's not the closer with the Cubs either. I feel the team is getting what they need from the pitching. If there's anything needed, it's offense. For those days, the bats just don't want to show up, preferably left-handed. They could have gotten Savalier, to your point, says a texter. What the heck happened to Pedro Leon? I thought he was supposed to be the next big thing. Yeah, he just hasn't been good, and then he got hurt this year. I want to say he re-aggravated it, too, because I think he started to play again in the Florida Coast League.
He did.
And I want to say they shut him down.
Oh, is that right?
I think.
I see that Taylor Trammell, a guy, you know, because of he was a Yankee prospect. So everybody's like, he was one of those hot names people talked about as potentially making the roster out of spring training. He was down in Florida rehabbing. Now they've transferred him to Sugar Land starting tonight, I believe.
He would be, if he was healthy, he would have been on the team before Melton.
Mm-hmm. Probably right.
So I'm kind of curious what he does, Trammell. It's pronounced Trammell.
Yep.
See what he can do. Another text on the HRMP listener line. I feel the team is getting what they need from the pitching. Just read that one. Who is this year's Trey Mancini? Asked someone. Yeah, I mean, there's a few players out there that I've like
on expiring deals.
I looked at the Jeff Passan trade primer the other day, and I started to look at some of the players that he had, and I took a look to see like which of those players that he had on the primer or whatever.
He had a long list of names.
Like some guys that I would be like at least interested in. Not saying that you need to bang the table. Like if you want to shop at the high end, like Ryan O'Hearn is a guy that's like really good, but like that's probably unrealistic with the return he would take. Renjifo guy from the Angels, but the Angels are actually back into the race, so I don't think he would be available. You know, the Red Sox have talked about trading away some of the surplus of outfielders they have, like maybe a reunion with Willier Abreu.
Oh, I like that.
Like he's a left-handed bat that would play for you. I like the Ray second baseman Lau. Now he's not a great defender, but a left-handed bat with some pop. Like there's a few names out there. Like if you want to go starter, Zach Eflin, Andrew Heaney. If you want to go nuts, Sandy Alcantara is probably the biggest star. He hasn't had a great year though. Well, his year hasn't been good.
But they're going to be teams so desperate for pitching that they're going to push that price up, I believe.
Probably. So like there's a bunch of names out there. Now the problem with doing it now is like there's still 6 weeks, at least 4 weeks before these teams are like, okay, we're going to sell. So it's tough to really get an idea of what the player pool is going to be on the trade market. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to the TV voice of the Houston Astros. Todd Callis joins us next. Killer Bees broadcasting live from East River 9 on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. First, I got to tell you about the greatness that is HRNP, Human Resources and Payroll. It's in the name. It's Cougar, owned by my colleague, Go Cougs. He used to protect a Heisman Trophy winner. Now he wants to protect your business. Business owners let HRP help you. They can help you with HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding. They can help you with all of those things. They can help you with one of those things. They can help you with things that maybe you never even imagined. There's no boxes with HRP. Doesn't matter how small the job, how big the job, HRP completely customizes a plan for what you and your business needs. You have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little off your plate, HRP will find a way to help you. And they do it in a way that you need. Technology meets service, the best technology in the game. You'll love that, but you're going to fall in love with that service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll be talking to someone who knows you and knows your business needs. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out online at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
ESPN 97.
Imagine the legacy you could leave behind. Imagine a career where every day, every lesson, every word of encouragement, it all adds up to something greater. One teacher can inspire a lifetime of learning. At Teachers of Tomorrow, we believe in the power of one. One teacher, one student, one moment that changes everything. Teaching isn't just a job. It's a legacy of learning that shapes the next generation. If you've ever felt the call to teach, your time is now. Start your teaching journey today with Teachers of Tomorrow. We're here to guide you every step of the way. A bachelor's degree is all that's required. Best of all, it's free to apply, and you can be teaching in just 6 months. Call Teachers of Tomorrow at 800-813-9441. 800-813-9441. That's 800-813-9441. Because the world needs teachers like you.
Still getting around to that fix on your car? You got this. On eBay, you'll find millions of parts guaranteed to fit. Doesn't matter if it's a major engine repair or your first time swapping your windshield wipers. eBay has that part you need, ready to click perfectly into place. For changes big and small. Loud or quiet. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. guaranteed to fit every time. But you already know that. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Well, good morning, kiddo. I love that you're home from college. I've missed you.
Still taking your Nature Made vitamins?
Every day. A multivitamin and a probiotic. You better be taking yours.
Still looking out for me, Mom.
I'll never stop.
Made to care for you every day. Nature Made, the number one pharmacist-recommended vitamin and supplement brand. Find us in the vitamin aisle. Based on a survey of pharmacists who recommend branded vitamins and supplements.
Like celebrity picks? Yeah, neither do we. So follow ESPN Houston on Instagram instead. You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time to get the latest about the Stros with Todd Kallas. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and Pipe Fitters Local 211. Here's Joel and Jeremy with Todd Kallas.
Let's go straight out to the HRNP guest line, being joined by Todd Kallas, TV voice of the Houston Astros. TK, Isak Paredes, MRI, I guess they're waiting the news on that, huh? What's your feel? What's your gut feel tell you?
It's hard. Until we know the results of that, it's hard to have a gut feel. The fact that he told Joe he wanted to play today after the game last night, that was wishful thinking. I did not expect to see him today or likely tomorrow. They'll probably give him a couple days. Hopefully he's ready to go by the end of the weekend. If he's not, they'll have to put him on the IL. But you never know with a hamstring, right? It could be anywhere from a grade one to a grade three. And until we see the imaging, we won't know. So that's going to be a big imaging, a big MRI result when we find out later today.
TK, we were discussing the what-ifs. If he does sit down, maybe if it's just through the weekend, as you mentioned, maybe if it's a little longer than that, like, what do they do? Is it Dubon? Is it Shea Whitcomb? How do they – some people suggesting Cam Smith. We both were on the side of, hey, he's comfortable now in right field. Don't move him from there, especially when we didn't know coming in if he was going to have major league range. But how do you see that playing out at third if, indeed, he does miss some time?
Yeah, Joe was asked that today. Chandler Romas, if Cam was a part of the equation possibly for third if this was an extended IL, and he said no. So Joe wants to keep Cam in the outfield. So you're basically looking at the two other guys you talked about, because DiVenzo's still not healthy, hasn't swung a bat yet. So it's either going to be Dubon, who's in there tonight, or Shea Whitcomb, who hasn't had much of a chance to play since he's been called up and had that great first, especially last month of May, but also a great first couple of months at AAA Sugarland. At the minor league level, there's Luis Guillorme. He can play all over the infield, and we saw him play a lot of third in spring training. I think they like Bryce Matthews to be at second base right now, so I don't think they'll move him around. So you're looking at those two options right now on your active roster, and then possibly Guillorme, but he's not on the 40-man right now. So we'll see how they play it out, but those would be your two guys for now.
Todd Kallas, voice of the Astros, joining us on the HRNP guest line. How about the performance of Framber Valdez yesterday? 12 strikeouts. You know, maybe not his best line score, but the stuff really played last night against the White Sox.
Yeah, I guess first time ever. I didn't realize that until after the game. First time ever a starter has gone five innings or fewer with 12 strikeouts or more. So that was another franchise mark for the franchise. He was just so much swing and miss, but it was kind of wild. Like, the White Sox did a good job of putting a lot of pitches on him with a lot of foul balls and deep counts, but he still had 12 strikeouts. The guy who finished ending up with five strikeouts, Austin Slater, had one of the better battles for a guy who struck out five times that I've ever seen, including a couple against Bromber. But, yeah, it was not easy. Edgar Carroll seems to own him at age 22, three hits and two RBIs. But Bromber got through five, which is unusual for him. When he only goes five, it feels like he hasn't done a day's work, and he did in terms of his pitch count. That's why Joe had him out of there after five.
TK, are we close to seeing maybe as close as we've been all year to this offense looking like it's going to reach its potential? Walker seems to be coming out of it. Yiner with a big three-hit performance. He's got some power back. He looks like he's more comfortable. Altuve, back when we talked to you a few weeks ago, we were wondering if he was struggling, if he was going to figure it out, when he was going to figure it out. Unfortunately, Paredes goes down, but otherwise it seems like this is the offense we were expecting from day one.
Yeah, a lot of those guys are starting to click. Yiner, Christian Walker, really better results lately. Yiner's on that two spot today. So you have Jeremy Peña, Yiner Diaz, and Jose Altuve, the top three. The great thing about Paredes being in that top three is that he can take pitches. Those three guys in there tonight could have five pitches in, the bases loaded, or they could be out of the inning after five pitches. That's how aggressive they are. But, it's getting there. And it's crazy to say that this is the offense that they were hoping for because they're doing it without their best hitter in the lineup for the last month plus in Yordan Alvarez. And now they're going to do it with maybe their one of their two most important guys other than Yordan in the current lineup, and that's Isak Paredes. He and Peña, obviously, have been carrying the load. So it'll be a struggle to figure out who's going to carry the load if Isak's not in there more than a couple of days. But, yes, good signs out of Yiner, good signs out of Christian Walker. The team continues to figure it out, and here they are 4.5 games ahead doing it without their best hitter, which is kind of remarkable, and 3/5 of their starting rotation from opening day.
It's pretty impressive.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah, Todd Callis joining us. Conversation brought to you by Pipefitters Local 211. They do it right. This question's a little inside baseball, TK, but when you're calling a game, how much are you looking at the monitor versus watching the play live, just real time?
I never watch the monitor.
Okay.
I know I have seen some guys in the middle of a call go from live to the monitor, which I think is amazing to have faith that the camera's going to always be on the ball there. Sometimes guys do it just to see a little better shot of the outfield than they can with their own eyes. But, yeah, I always stay on the play live. And then on close pitches, a lot of times as soon as the pitch is caught or put in play, I'll look to see where that pitch was. But, well, if it's put in play, I won't. But if the pitch is caught or if it's fouled back, I'll look quickly to see if the pitch was on the plate or not. But other than that, I'm always going live with the call. But I think Blummer is checking out the monitor a little more. You don't have to be on top of it as much as an analyst. You're more of, after the play's over, giving the analysis as opposed to while the play's happening. So, yeah, I always stay with it live, and I would be scared to do it any other way.
Yeah, Blummer's itchy trigger fingers are always working on exit velocity and what parks the ball got out of and all that stat nerd stuff that we love. I'm curious also from that standpoint, TK, an argument we get a lot when we see McCullers have two big starts, when we see guys like we mentioned start picking it up offensively. Yeah, but it's the A's. Yeah, but it's the White Sox. Yeah, but it's – I mean, how much do you put weight into that? It's a Major League Baseball team, and you know, again, people think it's the A's of the past. The A's are no slouches. They've got some good young talent, but I think the White Sox to some degree have talent, especially for the pitching staff.
Yeah, it's definitely a better White Sox team than we saw in the past couple of years. And you're right, their pitching is for a lot of young guys in that rotation and on that staff in general, they are really talented. The guy we saw on Tuesday night, Shane Smith, is probably an all-star as their representative this year. But going back to your original question, yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for that. But at the same time, you want your guys to know that you might be able to get away with a few things against bad offenses that you can't get away with when we're back here for the next homestand when the Phillies and the Cubs are going to be in town. So, you have to just dance with the person that's on the schedule for that particular start. But at the same time, you know, like if Colton Gordon goes out today and throws a lot of two-strike pitches down the middle and the Twins don't take advantage of it, that's not necessarily going to play out the next homestand when the Phillies and Cubs are in the mix. So, I do think the Twins' offense is fine, by the way, so they're not really a great example. I think the Twins' offense is not the reason why they've struggled lately. But, yeah, you have to just face who you're facing and know that at times you are going to get away with a few more things against the weaker offenses, but you have to really be sharp once the bigger boys come into town.
You mentioned the Twins' recent struggles, but still four games above .500. Obviously, we know their shortstop very well. What are the Astros getting this weekend with Minnesota?
They're getting a team that's kind of licking their wounds after a rough stretch against the Rangers. They gave up two games of 16 runs against Texas, and then they won the other game, which the Twins did. So, yeah, this is a Twins pitching staff that is last in majors in ERA in June, going against an Astros pitching staff that is best in the majors in ERA in June. So I don't anticipate the Twins staff will stay that way the whole month, but They've been going through a rough stretch lately, so we'll see. Their offense has not been the problem, averaging over 5 runs a game this month. Their OPS is top 5 in June. It's been the pitching that's been really problematic. But tonight's guy's been good, Chris Paddock, kind of a local guy, born and raised in the Austin area. And so I'm sure a lot of family and friends in attendance. And he's been really good since a couple of rough starts at the beginning of the year. So this is a good test. This is, in between facing the Chicago White Sox and the Athletics, you get the Twins, who are probably going to be right in the mix for a playoff spot. So I think this is a good test for the Astros to see where they are, especially tonight without Paredes in there along with Yordan.
I know you only know what they tell you, TK, but just curious in terms of, like, all the injuries and some of the updates. We heard about J.P. France potentially throwing. We heard Arrigetti has a chance to maybe start to throw a little bit off the mound. And then all the guys that are rehabbing. Any significant updates on any kind of injuries?
We got a couple. So J.P. had a live bullpen today down in West Palm Beach, so we'll get more information about how that went. But he's still building up. That's going to be a fairly lengthy process for him. Once Spencer Arrigetti starts throwing off a mound, then we can start to project. I know if it was up to Spencer, and I think you heard Dana Brown mention it on our broadcast, if it was up to Spencer, he would be ramping this up a lot quicker, but he has to go at the pace that the athletic training staff is putting in front of him. So at times it can be frustrating because you want to do more, you want to try and contribute to your team. But if he's back by late July, early August, that would obviously be a boost. It's probably not going to be before the All-Star break for any of those pitchers. So we're looking at the current 6-man rotation, which will eventually go back to 5, as your guys pretty much carrying you to the All-Star break and maybe for the week or two after. Beyond that, on the hitting side, no swings for Yordan, no swings for Zach Dezenzo. We did get news of swings today from Chaz McCormick coming back from that oblique. So that's the first good sign for Chaz that he's making progress. Shifted off a tee today. So he is, I guess, ahead of Dezenzo or Yordan in that regard.
Todd, always enjoy the conversation. Appreciate it. And call a good one tonight.
Thanks, guys. Always good talking to you. Talk to you next week.
It's Todd Kalas, TV voice of the Astros. Our interview presented by Pipefitters Local 211. They do it right. It's 4.5 game lead, June 13th. Take your time with all of these guys. Take your time. Although I would like the bench to be a little bit better. The bench is dreadful. You have Isak, yeah, who can't play. You have Cesar Salazar, who doesn't play, unless he's pitching in a game where you're down or up by 7. Shea Whitcomb, like,
hasn't played.
I think he's had one start since he's been up. Like, and then you have Isak, who can't play. Did I mention him? So there's three guys right there that do not play baseball.
And now Rogers has to play.
It's not a good bench right now. It's really not. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Total Dallas says, hey, do you guys see the truck approaching in the rearview mirror called the Texas Rangers? Looking at Todd, look at Total Arlington sending us his first text of the baseball season. He's talking up his fourth place, Texas Rangers. Texas Rangers are in fourth place, and he's saying they're the truck in the rearview mirror. At least be in the half of the division first, Total Arlington. You can't be smack talking when you're in fourth place.
TK gave you the only positive that they actually put up some big runs against the Twins. But other than that, every article you read is the Rangers could be big sellers come deadline
really?
Time. Yep.
I do have a hot take that they finished second in the division.
Ooh.
I think they finished second in the division. They've been pitching it pretty good. I don't think their offense can be this bad all year, but maybe it can be. Yeah, but Total Arlington, you can't be talking trash and smack-talking when your team's in fourth place. Come on, man.
That's brutal.
Father's Day's on Sunday. What is your ideal Father's Day? 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Championship teams are built with experience, skill, and teamwork, just like Pipefitters Local 211. For over 75 years, we've been representing the best in the trade across the Texas Gulf Coast. Our 4,300 union pipe fitters, welders, and HVAC techs bring the heat when it comes to quality, safety, and precision. When you need a home run in craftsmanship, trust the pros who do it right the first time. Pipefitters Local 211. Brought to you by the journeymen and apprentices of Pipefitters Local Union 211.
John Granato here with Robin Orlando from Houston Powder Coaters. Robin, you guys are expanding as well.
Yes, we are branching into San Antonio and Austin. So if you have a second house over there, we can come and pick up your items, bring them back to Houston Powder Coaters, and then deliver them back to your second home.
How about that? And your delivery?
It's free in the Houston area. It's going to be $125 for Austin and San Antonio.
That's not bad at all. Call Robin. You'll probably deal with Robin when you call Houston Powder Coders, 281-676-3888 or HoustonPowderCoders.com.
Watch all of the baseball action of your hometown team at JBarM, Ito's world-class barbecue and beer garden spot. JBarM is serving up Texas-style brisket, homemade sausage, and timeless barbecue. On Fridays and Saturdays, refresh yourself with $2 well drinks and buckets of beer for $15. Plus, watch every pitch, catch, and home run on JBarM's massive TV screen. JBarM at 2201 Leland. For more info, visit jbarmbbq.com and follow on socials at jbarmbbq.
Hey, Lance Zierlein here. You know I'm a numbers guy, and I like the numbers that Daspit Law Firm is putting up for their clients. The super team at Daspit Law handles a full range of personal injury cases, and they are getting results from their clients in big numbers. Car accidents, truck accidents, industrial accidents, construction accidents, maritime accidents, offshore accidents. These are all areas where if it's you or someone you know, I encourage you to get a free case review from John Daspit with the Daspit Law Firm. Call 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW.
Are you looking for the cheapest prices on car insurance? Then call the Cheap Car Insurance Hotline right now. Hey, you're guaranteed to save money on your car insurance. Most car insurances can be canceled at any time. That means if you find a better deal, you can switch right away. We're not just one company. We offer most of the major brands of car insurance. We're like a discount supermarket for car insurance. And it doesn't matter if you have a good record or a bad driving record. Our agents are experts at finding you the right car insurance for your needs. Our average customer saves hundreds of dollars a year when they call us to switch. So why don't you make this 100% free call right now and see how much you can save on your car insurance.
800-871-9417. 800-871-9417. 800-871-9417. That's 800-871-9417.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store. Broadcasting live from East River 9 as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees broadcasting live East River 9 on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Live music tonight, by the way, 7 to 9 here at East River 9. Live music summer concert series every Friday and Saturday. Fun for the entire family. A great spot for that. Great spot to watch your sports. Great spot for a drink. River House with some excellent food as well. So get on out here. Enjoy your time at East River 9. So Father's Day is on Sunday. Happy Father's Day, Blankers.
You as well.
Thank you. What's your ideal Father's Day?
Ooh, like realistically, my ideal Father's Day can't happen. But I would say a round of golf with some of the buddies in the morning, and then some good quality time with the family for the rest of the day. Maybe grab dinner somewhere, but just, you know, hanging with the kids, maybe at the pool or doing something like that, and making sure that even the wife can relax, and then we all just grab some food and just take it easy. I think At this point, those are always good days.
I feel like it's the one day of the calendar year where you don't have to worry about the wife at all. Maybe 2 days. Maybe your birthday and Father's Day.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we're normally on the weekends, it's all family stuff, and we all do a lot of stuff together. And the kids love to go to the pool and do the pool slides and do all the things that they have that we can just kind of relax while they're doing that. So, yeah, I mean, that's where I'm happiest.
My ideal Father's Day is to be right here at East River 9 the moment that it opens until the moment that it closes. So that's my number one. If I had to settle for my number two ideal Father's Day, just to hang out, chill out, watch the U.S. Open. Astros will be playing on Sunday. Of relaxing, don't do very nice food, maybe a drink or two, but just hang out, chill, do very little. That's my ideal, second ideal Father's Day.
Yeah, that would work. I mean, as much, especially you doing the two different gigs for the most of the year, it's always nice to relax. But with our schedule, it's the same thing. I mean, we're always blowing and going all over the place, that it's nice when we get the opportunities over the weekends to just kind of take it down a notch.
Texter says, so what's your ideal Father's Day? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Texter, my kid's baseball team giving me more than a one-and-done Sunday in their tournament. Or if they do go one and done, playing get knocked out early enough to make it to the Astros game at one. So that's pretty good. You have like a contingency plan in place. Like, cool, if we win the first one, cool, we're playing more than one game. But if you do lose the one game, you want it to be early enough.
Oh, save the day.
That way that you can, in this case, he wanted to go to the Astros game and play. They play at one. Get there for a Father's Day game.
Nothing's worse when you're, especially your select ball and you're out of town somewhere, and you make it to Sunday, but you're in the loser's bracket, and you got one game to lose, and you're out, and you lose the first of the day. It sucks, but at least you're got the rest of the day, although you have to drive somewhere. The worst part of that is you get deeper into the loser's bracket, you win a couple of games, and it's like 2 o'clock, and you're like, oh, you're out, and the rest of the day is shot because you're driving back.
You've blown the whole day. So do you have softball this weekend?
No.
Wow. That's rare, isn't it?
And, yeah, it is. Well, we normally go every other weekend anyway, but because of Father's Day, they kind of strategically made sure we were supposed to have practice on Sunday.
What?
And then because of this rain, our fields aren't available, so then they basically made the decision to let all the dads have their day.
You were going to have practice on Father's Day?
Yes, our female coach. Our female head coach. Yes, unlike Mother's Day, but our female head coach was like, yeah, we were planning on practicing on Sunday, but due to the weather, you guys can have Father's Day. Gee, thanks.
Are you her assistant?
Yeah.
Okay. How's the pyro dynamic there?
Oh, no problem. She played college softball at Texas A&M. She knows her stuff, and so, yeah, I'm happy just to be helping out the kids.
Does she boss you around?
No. I mean, we make most
of
the –
Tell you what to do?
To be honest, she's great about letting us make decisions as a coaching staff instead of her just putting her foot down. But, you know, there's certain rules that don't translate to baseball that I don't know.
Has she ever had to calm you down?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's a running joke.
What does she do?
With her and the parents about, like, when I could lose my mind on something.
Can I have her number?
No.
So we can kind of, you know, workshop some stuff?
No.
I mean, if it's very – I mean, it could be helpful.
So this last weekend, again, I just want the kids to learn, love the game, keep playing the game. We had a Saturday night game where a coach was instructing their players to run into our hitters to create the obstruction so that they could get our runners
That's
off of
good coaching.
It's annoying as hell, and they're screaming it during the game so much that the umpires were like, you're teaching your kid to seek out the batter in the batter's box to run into them to try and get outs on the field.
So they were on the field trying to get the outs?
Oh, yeah.
So they're trying to create an interference?
Correct.
Oh, I'm a fan of this.
Yeah, and we as a coaching staff were not.
Oh, but, I like this.
But we
– Did you throw at their best hitter?
No.
Well, I mean, if you wanted to stop, you should throw their best hitter.
Because we're not like that, but also because of the fact that this team has done this, they have a reputation for doing this, and we beat them every time. And then we ended up losing a one-run game in the last inning, and it was like, okay, how do we handle the handshake line? And she's like, you're going to be the last one. And she was actually, no, you're going to be the second to last one. I'm going to be behind you. She goes, because I don't want you to say what you're feeling right now. And again, it was a female coach on the other side. She has two male assistants. They wear cleats. I said, if I ever wore cleats to coach a 9-year-old softball team, you should basically tell me to go kick rocks and find something else. That is ridiculous.
I think it helps whenever you're a base coach if you get it, you know, into a good squatting position. The cleats can prevent you from slipping.
You're wrong, and it's a horrible look.
You know what I mean?
And they wear them on
like sometimes
concrete.
They slip down. You know, are they metal?
No, they're okay. Not. Thankfully, at this age,
I found out on concrete. I thought they might be metal.
No, but still. No coach should be wearing regular spikes.
I mean, they care about winning. They don't want to slip whenever they're rounding the runner around third.
I don't think anything they're doing coaching needs the kind of dig-in grip that cleats give you.
It does sound like they're stealing some outs, though, which I can appreciate.
Yeah, so then the next day, our best pitcher's supposed to pitch, and our coach tells us the best pitcher's not allowed to pitch because the husband and wife combination scoured the rosters and found out that our player that's been with us for almost 2 years wasn't eligible because our coach – forgot to transfer over the roster from day one to day two. And then during the game, the coach sat in front of me in the first base coach box when I was sitting in the dugout coaching, and he's got a clicker. Uh-huh. He's keeping track of pitches, runs, He's questioning every single play. His wife is behind the plate with a computer going, I need to question her availability. And then we found out the mom didn't sign the waiver for one of our kids. So they made the mom sign it before the kid could come to the plate and bat.
What's the objective out there? Is it to win games?
I mean, yeah, it's competitive, but
there
at the same time.
Still outs. Any way you can.
It's brutal. And so that's what our coach said to me again. Hey, Joel, the girls don't want to see any one of us lose our mind on these coaching staff. We have to shake hands and walk away. I'm like, that's going to be a tough one for me.
If you're a coach for kids softball, baseball, and wear cleats, you need to get a life.
Yes, thank you. Exactly.
I can't believe that actually happens. I'm trolling, obviously. That's hilarious.
We see them from the parking lot to the fields wearing the cleats on the sidewalk paths and on the concrete. And we're all just laughing and go, what are we doing?
I wonder what they do for a living. To wear cleats at the softball fields as a coach.
Whew.
Like, you think they're like tax assessors?
I feel like
they're behind spreadsheets all day.
You're probably right.
I think, anyways. They probably didn't wear a whole lot of cleats back in their day. First year as a dad and laid down the request for every year on couch watching the final round of the U.S. Open. That's a great, great father. We're not asking for much. As fathers, we don't ask for much. We just want a little rest and relaxation every time, every now and then. For Total Arlington, honey-do list, nowhere inside, an ice cream cake from Baskin-Robbins.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Really?
Ice cream cakes are good.
I can't remember the last time I've touched an ice cream cake or even saw an ice cream cake.
Lisa's family, when the kids on like when Lisa's brother's kids have a birthday and we're all together, that's the go-to. It's so good.
Texture says, I want my wife out pulling weeds, cutting the yard on Father's Day.
Wow.
Ideal 8 p.m. bedtime, noon wake up. You know, catch up on a little bit of sleep.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with that. Like to catch up on a little sleep myself. All right, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. What is best, worst-case scenario for the Rockets this offseason? And is a Kevin Durant trade somewhere imminent? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the NBA Finals.
Mathurin gonna pull for three and hit. Benedict Mathurin with 25 off the bench.
With the Pacers up 2-1 over the Thunder, we head to Game 4.
The great thing is we have another game coming up, Game 4. The focus can't be on your emotions. It has to be on, you know, what we're trying to accomplish, task at hand.
Game 4 coverage begins tonight at 7, following Inside the Icebox with Joe George and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Never been a better time to buy a Chastain Ford. When